mercy and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ be with you.
And also with you.
Hallelujah. Christ is risen. He is risen indeed.
Hallelujah.
As I said, not in your sheets, but your good Anglican, I know you know the response. Good to be with you this morning. I really appreciated that last one. As we're talking about journeying this week, you probably spotted that. But before we begin, just to give you a couple of notices. Now, the first notice is really important. The first notice is that the rector forgot to print out the notice sheet for this Sunday. So don't blame anyone other than me. It's my fault. So if you didn't get it by email and you'd like a paper copy, just grab me after the service and I'll make sure I deliver one perfectly as my parents for not printing out the sheets. But the second notice is connected. And the good news is we do now have a new administrator, so obviously that would never happen again. She will start for a week on Tuesday, Star Wars Day for those who know what day that will be, 4th of May. Or May the 4th, I thought we just put it up there, didn't it? So she'll be now, her name, some of you may know her, because her name is Deb Viz. Who used to be Deborah Henning, and back in the time actually came to this church as a young person. And she's also the lay chair in our deanery, so she's well aware of how churches work and all that sort of thing, and is used to preparing services, and so I'm really looking forward to working with her. She is full of energy, and I am not sure I'm going to be able to keep up. So that is good news to have an administrator. Do say hello to her. We will have, probably the next time we're together as a whole parish, we'll have a commission of her as well as we did previously. It's good news. Outside of that, some of you may be aware that the funeral of Olive, I saw a lovely photo at the top earlier on. Olive's funeral happened on Friday. And I believe you can still go online and watch it if you want to. And if you don't have the details for that, again, get in contact with me. And we hope on the first Saturday of July to have a memorial service for Olive and have her daughters here with us on that day. But I will give you the details in the notice sheet, which will be printed. I'm not sure if I've missed anything. I'm going to look it towards one of my wardens at the back and she's going to tell me I've missed it. Anyway, if you want to know the sheet, let me know. But of course, the main reason that we're here today is, oh, I know what I haven't done. I haven't introduced Emily to you. You're thinking, why is that lady sitting up there with Max? Some of you will already know who Emily is if you were here last week or you've been watching the online services. Emily is with us here on a placement at the moment, and she just serves. What God is calling her to in the ministry, and I've been enjoying our Wednesday services with Emily helping me lead the communion service, and I said last week, come up and deacon for me this Sunday, so it's great to have her. I just need to remember bits now that I don't need to say because Emily is going to say it for me. So. Have a chat with her afterwards, and Lucas and Nanny are here as well, so it's great to have some children's noise in the background, isn't it, here on a Sunday morning. Right, I think that's about all. So we'll take some time to be quiet and then we'll carry on with our service. So we say together our prayer of preparation. Almighty God, to whom all hearts are open, all desires known, and from whom no secrets are hidden, cleanse the thoughts of our hearts by the inspiration of your Holy Spirit, that we may perfectly love you and worthily magnify your holy name. Through Christ our Lord. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, the first commandment is this, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is the only Lord. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this: love your neighbor as yourself. There is no other commandment greater than these. On these two commandments hang all the law and the prophets.
Amen.
Lord, have mercy. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, Jesus Christ, to save us from our sins, to be our advocate in heaven, and to bring us to eternal life. And so we pause for a moment and reflect on our lives as we come before our God, who is keen to forgive us.
Let us confess our sins in penitence and faith, firmly resolved to keep God's commandments and to live in love and peace with all. Most merciful God, Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we confess that we have sinned in thought, word and deed. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbours as ourselves. In your mercy, forgive what we have been. Help us to amend what we are, and direct what we shall be, that we may do justly, love mercy, and walk humbly with you, our God. Amen.
Almighty God, who forgives all who truly repent, have mercy upon you. Pardon and deliver you from all your sins. Confirm and strengthen you in all goodness, and keep you in life eternal, through Jesus Christ our Lord. We will remain seated for our Gloria during these times. We've been asked to remain seated for this type of thing during this time. But we will worship our God together as we say in Gloria. Glory to God in our highest, and peace to his people on earth. Lord God, heavenly King, almighty God and Father, we worship you, we give you thanks, we praise you for your glory. Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, Lord God, Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. You are seated at the right hand of the Father. Receive our prayer. For you alone are the Holy One, you alone are the Lord, you alone are the Most High, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in the glory of God the Father. Amen. And as we come to our collect, our prayer of the week, our prayer of thanks to God, we take a moment of silence to say our own prayer of thanks before I pray this prayer. Almighty God, whose Son Jesus Christ is the resurrection and the life, raise us who trust in him from the death of sin to the life of righteousness, that we may seek those which are above, where he reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. And we've come to our first reading now, our reading from Exodus, so it's Catherine.
The reading is taken from Exodus chapter 14, verses 5 to 14 and 26 to 31. When the king of Egypt was told that the people had fled, Pharaoh and his officials changed their minds about them and said, "What have we done? We have let the Israelites go and have lost their services." So he had his chariot made ready and took his army with him. He took 600 of the best chariots, along with all the other chariots of Egypt, with officers over all of them. The Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, so that he pursued the Israelites, who were marching out boldly. The Egyptians, all Pharaoh's horses and chariots, horsemen and troops, pursued the Israelites and overtook them as they camped by the sea near Kibroth, opposite Baal Zephon. As Pharaoh approached, the Israelites looked up, and there were the Egyptians marching after them. They were terrified and cried out to the Lord. They said to Moses, "Was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us to the desert to die? What have you done to us by bringing us out of Egypt? Didn't we say to you in Egypt, 'Leave us alone, let us serve the Egyptians'? It would have been better for us to serve the Egyptians than to die in the desert." Moses answered the people, "Do not be afraid. Stand firm, and you will see the deliverance the Lord will bring you today. The Egyptians you see today, you will never see again. The Lord will fight for you. You need only to be still." Then the Lord said to Moses, "Stretch out your hand over the sea, so that the waters may flow back over the Egyptians and their chariots and horsemen." Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and at daybreak the sea went back to its place. The Egyptians were fleeing toward it, and the Lord swept them into the sea. The water flowed back and covered the chariots and horsemen, the entire army of Pharaoh that had followed the Israelites into the sea. Not one of them survived. But the Israelites went through the sea on dry ground, with a wall of water on their right and on their left. That day the Lord saved Israel from the hands of the Egyptians, and Israel saw the Egyptians lying dead on the shore. And when the Israelites saw the mighty hand of the Lord displayed against the Egyptians, the people feared the Lord and put their trust in him and in Moses his servant. This is the word of the Lord.
As we hear the gospel read by Emily, you can remain seated. We will stand in honour of the gospel on your behalf. So remain seated for the front row.
The gospel reading this morning is taken from Luke chapter 10, verses 1 to 12. Hear the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Luke.
Glory
to you, Lord. After this, the Lord appointed 70 others and sent them on ahead of him into pairs to go into the town and the place where he himself intended to go. He said to them, "The harvest is plentiful, but the labourers are few. Ask the Lord of the harvest and send out labourers into the harvest. Go on your way. See, I am sending you out like lambs into the midst of wolves. Carry no purse, no bag, no sandals, and greet no one on the road. Whatever house you enter, first say, 'Peace to this house.' And if anyone is there who shares in peace, your peace will rest on that person. But if not, it will return to you. Remain in the same house, eating and drinking whatever they provide, for the labourer deserves to be paid. Do not move about from house to house. Whenever you enter a town and its people welcome you, eat what is set before you. Cure the sick who are there, and say to them, 'The kingdom of God has come near to you.' But whenever you enter a town and they do not welcome you, go out into the streets and say, 'Even the dust of your town that clings to our feet, we wipe off in protest against you. Yet know this, the kingdom of God has come near. I tell you, on that day, it will be more tolerable for Sodom than for that town." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise
to you, O Christ.
Thank you, Ellie. During the notices, I didn't actually mention that, of course, yesterday we had our first witness here for a little while. It was good to see Bex or Rebecca, if I had to keep darting back and forth during the service, and Nigel get married yesterday. I understand that they got off on mini moon. They got off on a mini moon. So, beholding Nigel and Bex Bosper in your prayer. It was great to have them here yesterday. But before I reflect on what God has been saying to me about how we journey forward from here, let us take a moment to pray. Holy Spirit, we thank you that you do speak to us in all sorts of ways. We already thank you for how you have engaged with us this morning. As we reflect on what it means to be your church in Bedhampton here in the future, would you guide us? Would you open our hearts and our minds? Would you, through your Spirit, speak? Amen. When I opened my word processor and sat down at my desk to prepare for today, I was quite surprised about the words that first came out of the fingers. Where the heck has God been in the last year? I guess I perhaps shouldn't have been that surprised, because actually, let's be honest, it's not been a great year, is it? There have been some highs for some people, but actually, it's not been the best year. And I don't know about you, but for me at times in the last year, I've been wondering where God is. Where is God in this? And if I'm really real with you, there have been times where the last thing in the world I want to do is open my scriptures and read them or pray. Don't panic, the rector's not losing the plot. You know, I just want to be real with you. That I too have been in those situations at times. I shared recently with a few people how those of us who perhaps have what I call a Tigger-like mentality or a half-glass, half-full outlook on life have been somewhat taken aback by how the darkness has crept upon us during COVID and the lockdown. Perhaps if you've got experience of depression or what sometimes is called the black dog or the dark dog, you would have seen the signs coming and maybe be prepared for them, I don't know. But for someone who has been blessed not to suffer with depression, it has caught up on me without me realising it was there. And I do wonder at those times where God is. I wonder how you've been. How have you been over the last year? Where has God been with you? Maybe you've watched loved ones suffer, maybe even die. Or maybe, just maybe, you've been angry at God. Well, I wonder if we should be at all surprised at this. Because as a people, we journey with God. We've always journeyed with God. It's no surprise that many of us who call ourselves Christian describe our relationship as a journey. Because if you read these scriptures, it's all about journey. Exodus, our first reading, read so well by Catherine, is perhaps the most obvious journey that we see in the Bible. Exodus itself, obviously that name brings up the idea of a journey. But if you look at the journey that they had, they are not without grumbles, they are not without doubts. They have been in slavery for hundreds of years. I mean, if we think last year's been bad, they have been in slavery for hundreds of years. And then God sends them a man so important that Jesus himself is compared to Moses. And Moses leads God's people out of slavery. Hurrah! Yeah, we're on a journey. We are finally, things are going to finally change. Things are going to get better. And then suddenly, with the pyramids barely out of sight, they hit their first obstacle. They are being chased down by the army, and the sea is in front of them. What are they to do? Do they trust in God? Do they say, God has set us free. He will see us through. There is no doubt our God is bigger than this army and this sea. Well, no, they don't do it. They turn on their leader, Moses, and they say to him, was it because there were no graves in Egypt that you brought us out to the desert? That we might die here, you know? You see, it doesn't matter if it's 2021 AD or 1250 BC. There are always people who struggle with faith on a journey. There are always people who will be fearful and grumble of what change might be. Even in our gospel read for us by Emily, we see Jesus giving a pep talk to those he's about to send out on a journey. Now these are 70 of the disciples, not the apostles, not the 12, but actually the wider grouping, people like you and I, who Jesus is sending out on a journey. They've been going along on a Sunday morning to hear this rabbi. Well, it probably wouldn't have been a Sunday morning, would it? But they've been going along to hear Jesus teach, and they've been observing the troubles that Jesus has. They're having no idea of the troubles that are coming, but they've been observing the troubles that Jesus has. And at one point, Jesus says to them, "Foxes have dens and birds have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head." It's hardly a sort of poppy me type scenario, is it? All their troubles. And yet he turns to them and he says, "I'm going to send you out on a journey." I'm sure, like Moses, Jesus had to do that pep talk, because like Moses, Jesus would have had people that were fearful of what that future journey would hold, what the change would bring. And you can see where I'm going with this, because we too in Bedhampton have been on a journey and are on a journey. For the last 3 years, we, at least, and beyond that for me, because it is 3 years today that you have put up. But for the last 3 years, we've been on a journey of asking what God wants us to do. We've been working out what our BIP is, and we were just about to turn around to look outside when the obstacle of COVID got in the way. Our Red Sea, if you will. So what was going to happen? What are we to do? Because for some, the possibility of change and a journey is frightening. You tend to fall in one of two camps when it comes to change and journey. You're either, like most normal people, concerned about what the future will hold, worried about change, asking yourself, "Why can't it just be like it is right now?" Or you're one of the weird people, like me, who actually enjoys a bit of change, enjoys the excitement of the journey. Tend to fall in one of the two camps. And our future will involve change. We have no idea yet what that change and that journey will be. We know, though, at the moment, Portsmouth Diocese and indeed the church as a whole are asking themselves, what does the future church look like? What does it hold? The only thing we do know is it won't be like the previous church. Now that raises fear in many people, and I understand completely why. We see that raise fear for Moses' travels. What we do know is that Portsmouth Diocese will ask us as Bedhampton to work more closely with Lee Park and with Warren Park, which for me and us is fantastic, because we'd already worked that much out for ourselves, haven't we? We'd already worked out that we needed to work more in that direction of our parish. And it'd be great to work with Jonathan and the crew. So we know that, and that's good news. We know that Portsmouth Diocese are asking us to look at what it means to be in small church as well as big church, what we might call home groups or life groups or cell groups, what I'm beginning to term sometimes micro church, that we would come together and then come in the biggest way. Now, I think that's brilliant, because my observation, as I've said before, is that as disciples, we grow the most in those micro groups, those home groups, those life groups. And then we celebrate as we come back together on a Sunday in bigger church. So that is good news as our journey. But we don't know what else we may be asked to do. Some of it will be enforced upon us, no doubt, and we will have to react and deal with it. Some of it we may have influence over. But there will be change as we journey forward. We know that. And I don't know any more than I just said to you. It's not like I'm hiding something that's there. But what we do know is we need to prepare ourselves for a journey. And so I'm going to suggest that we need to act. That we need to accept that there will be a journey. That we need to understand that God will use us, will collaborate with us, and we need to trust in God. Because we will move forward from here as God's people in their hands. We need to accept that we are on a journey. Now, as I've said already, that's going to be more difficult for some than it is for others. But we need to accept that things will change and we will move forward. The Israelites hit that first hurdle of the sea and said, oh, let's go back to Egypt. I can't believe it was God's will for them to go back into slavery rather than journey forward. And yet there were some that were so fearful they actually said that. Everything changes. I have a friend of mine who says, if it doesn't change, if it doesn't move, it's dead. And I don't believe that the Church of Christ is dead in their hands. And so things will change. And things also have to change to grow as well, don't they? And we want to grow. We believe God will grow with us. Jesus said, didn't he, that things had to change. I can't believe the disciples thought that when Jesus went to the cross, that was going to be so that the church could grow. But he said, very truly I tell you, it's good that I am going away. Unless I go, the Advocate, the Holy Spirit, will not come to me. But if I go, I will send you the Advocate. However hard it is for us to accept, we need to accept that there will be change and it will be good for the church if we walk with God. Because God will collaborate with us, will work with us. God's always worked with his people. If you know the story of Moses, which many of you I'm sure do, he was probably not the most open to collaborating with God, was he, in the burning bush? How many times did Moses say, no, not me, God? I don't know, I can't remember right now. But God wanted to collaborate through Moses, and Moses took some persuading that he had the skills, that he was young enough, that he actually had the ability to collaborate with God. And God said, no, I'm working with you. And then Moses learned the skills he needed on the road. So we need to collaborate with God. He's always used his people. When Jesus sent out the 70, he sent them out. He didn't go with them. He sent them out to collaborate. Go, I am sending you out, he said. So we need to accept that this journey of change will happen. We need to collaborate with God. And of course, finally, and perhaps most importantly, we need to trust God. We need to trust God will be there with us through to the very end. Psalm 23 talks about the valleys and the hills. Do not be afraid, said Moses to the people. Stand firm and you will seek deliverance. The Lord will bring you today. We trust in God and he will deliver. Look what happens when the people of God trust him. He delivers. And of course, Jesus reminds us that we're going to hit bumps in the road. It's not going to suddenly be plain sailing from here. COVID has not finished with us yet, has it? There will be repercussions. We're here 5 years earlier than we would have been because of COVID, but it's going to carry on as well. And things will happen. Jesus says to the disciples as they go, he said, as you enter a town and are not welcome, go into the streets and say, even the dust of your town we wipe from our feet. It's like, things are going to happen, guys. Accept that. Trust in God. Wipe the dust off your feet. Move on. Jesus says elsewhere, surely I am with you always, even to the very end of the age. To move on from here, we need to accept that there will be a journey. We need to collaborate and understand that we play a part in that journey. And we need to trust in God, who will see us through to the end. Act. We need to act. Now, I'm not going to ask you to come up here and sign a bit of paper and say, we're with you on the journey, mate, because frankly, I don't want to be that manipulative. You know? But I am going to ask you for 15 minutes of your time this week. 15 minutes to grab your favourite drink, to find your favourite spot in the garden or in the house or a little dog walk or whatever it is for you, and just to sit and be with God. Because remember, we're the age of Lucas, or the oldest person in this church right now. We have a part to play. And so I'm going to ask you just to sit and be with God and decide if you want to act with us. If you want to accept that there will be a journey, you want to collaborate with God and you want to trust in Him. And then I'm going to ask you just to sit still for those 15 minutes. Your mind, well, if you'd like to meet, your mind will wander away to, you know, the shopping or what's on telly tonight. But that's why we need 15 minutes, because we need to drag it back again, don't we? Just to focus on God. And just ask Him the question, what is it that you would have me collaborate with you? What would it be that I would do here, at this time in history, at this geography? What would it you have me having to do? Just spend 15 minutes doing that. And then act upon what you hear from God's Holy Spirit. If you want to, you can tell me. I'm not asking you to tell me. But if you want to, or if you want to talk through what you think you've heard from God and how that might be, come and speak to me. We'll have a cup of coffee in the garden. That's fine. We can do that. Or if you're not sure, I'm happy to have a chat about it. But you don't have to tell me, because it's between you and God. I'm just asking that you'll do that this week, those 15 minutes. You okay with that? Do that? Thank you. Let's just pray to God right now. Thank you, Lord. As we step out and act, as we step out, you never let us down. May you this week, as we seek your Spirit, may you guide us in all that we hear. Help us see your vision for our lives and for this parish. We seek to be the church of the future. Amen.
As Max said earlier, we're encouraged not to to stand at the moment, but that doesn't stop us from being able to declare our faith in God. So I invite you to do that with me with the words of the creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, creator of heaven and earth. I believe in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried.
He descended to the dead.
On the third day he rose again. He ascended into heaven. He is seated at the right hand of the Father, and he will come to judge the living and the dead. I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Holy Catholic Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen.
And now we're going to have our prayers. As Linda. You need number this morning, Linda?
Sandra.
No, you're not. Okay. Sandra. I can do with a note sheet, really, but I just want to print them out, eh? Sandra's going to lead us our prayers this morning.
Lord, we give you thanks for the gradual lifting of COVID restrictions and the measured return to places of worship for those who feel comfortable to do so. We thank you too for the love, joy and happiness felt here yesterday in church at the wedding of Nigel and Becky Bosco. Lord, in your mercy. We remember the work of bishops throughout our country, and especially Bishop Christopher, who retired yesterday as Bishop of Portsmouth. We pray for all priests, and especially Max, our rector. We also give thanks for those called to be shepherds of your people, for Polly, who has recently been accepted for ministry training, and for Emily, who is with us for a few months on her discernment process. Bless all who teach the faith, and help us to walk in the way of your love and truth. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for the nations of the world, and especially those who are not at peace at this time. We ask your guidance on all who care for the world's poor, for refugees and for war-torn people. Today we remember the people of India and the terrible suffering there as a result of the COVID infection. Millions of people are sick. Hospitals are overwhelmed and oxygen is unavailable to many patients. May the richer nations find swift ways to help them in their crisis. Lord, in your mercy.
Amen.
We pray for those from our own community who are ill at home or in hospital at this time, or who are in need of our support, especially for those mentioned on our weekly sheet. We pray too for those who have recently died, including Roy Pope, Diane McKay, and dear Olive Sheesby. And in a moment of quiet, we remember those close to our own hearts. And finally, give us renewed hope today through the message of Easter. You rose from the dead. The clouds and darkness were dispelled, and faith began to shoot again among your disciples. Your love could not be deserted. May that truth turn our doubt to faith. Merciful Father, accept these prayers for the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you, Sandra. It's a good job she's a forgiving lady, isn't it? One of the things that Emily is doing for us during her time here is during between Ascension and Pentecost, during what we call Viking Camp, she is doing daily reflections for us. Just 5 minute long little mini reflections for those times. Now they're going to be on the website and available to everyone. But if you don't do the internet and you'd rather a DVD version of that, I am more than happy to make a few of those up. Just let me know that you want one and I'll make up some of those in plenty of time for you to be able to do that at home for your DVD player. But of course right now we're going to come to our piece that we share with one another. We're not allowed to get up and move around and shake hands, aren't we? But we give each other that knowing nod. And after we've shared the piece together, I'm going to ask Carol to play a hymn for us, where we can spend a bit more time reflecting on that message of journey as I prepare the table. We are the body of Christ. In the one spirit, we were all baptized into one body. Let us then pursue all that makes a peace and builds up our common life. The peace of the Lord be always with you. Give each other that knowing nod.
Thank you.
Eucharistic Prayer B on page 9, as is our tradition here. The Lord is here.
His Spirit is with us.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give thanks and praise.
Father, we give you thanks and praise for your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, your living Word, through whom you have created all things, who was sent by you in your great goodness to be our Saviour. By the power of the Holy Spirit, he took flesh as your Son, born of the Blessed Virgin. He lived on earth and went about among us. He opened wide his arms for us on the cross. He put an end to death by dying for us, and revealed the resurrection by rising to new life. So he fulfilled your will and won for you a holy gift. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we proclaim your great and glorious name, forever praising you and saying,
Holy, 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 holy Lord,
God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory,
Hosanna in the highest.
Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord,
Hosanna in the highest.
Lord, you are holy indeed, the source of all holiness. Grant that by the power of your Holy Spirit, and according to your holy will, this gift of bread and wine may be to us the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ, who in the same night that he was betrayed, took bread and gave you thanks. He broke it and gave it to his disciples, saying, Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. Do this in remembrance. In the same way after supper, he took the cup and gave you thanks. He gave it to them, saying, Drink this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus.
Dying, you destroyed our death.
Rising, you restored our life. Lord Jesus, come in glory.
And so, Father, calling to mind his death on the cross, his perfect sacrifice made once for the sins of the whole world, rejoicing in his mighty resurrection and glorious ascension, and looking for his coming in glory, we celebrate this memorial of our redemption as we offer you this, our sacrifice of praise and thanksgiving. We bring before you this bread and this cup, and we thank you for counting us worthy to stand in your presence and serve you. Send the Holy Spirit on your people, and gather into one in your kingdom all who share this one bread and one cup, so that we, in the company of all the saints, may praise and glorify you forever through Jesus Christ our Lord, by whom and with whom and in whom, in the unity of the Holy Spirit, all honour and glory be yours, Almighty Father, for ever and ever.
Amen.
So, as our Saviour taught us on page 12, we pray our prayer. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name.
Your kingdom come.
Your will be done on earth as in heaven. Give us today our daily bread. Forgive us our sins, as we forgive those who sin against us. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For the kingdom, the power, and the glory are yours, now and forever. Amen. We break this bread to share in the body of Christ.
Though we are many, we are one body,
because we all share in one bread. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, have mercy on us. Lamb of God, you take away the sin of the world, grant us peace. So, my friends, draw near with faith and receive the body of our Lord Jesus Christ, which he gave for you, and his blood, which he shed for you. Eat in remembrance that he died for you, and feed on him in your heart by faith, with thanksgiving. Most merciful Lord, your love compels us to come in. Our hands were unclean, our hearts were unprepared. We were not fit even to eat the crumbs from under your table. But you, Lord, are the God of our salvation, and share your bread with sinners. So cleanse and feed us with the precious body and blood of your Son, that he may live in us, and we in him. That we, with the whole company of Christ, may sit and eat in your kingdom. As we are doing at the moment, I shall bring the bread to you and I shall consume the wine for all of God's people. Also at this point, we reflect on those who joined with us online, who received communion with us now, and for them to take their time to commune with their God. I'll receive the body of Christ for all those people. Receive the blood of Christ shed for all God's people. Merciful Father, you gave your Son, Jesus Christ, to be the Good Shepherd, and in his love for us to lay down his life and rise again. Keep us always under his protection, and give us grace to follow in his steps through Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen. And we say together our prayer of thanks. Father, we give you thanks and praise that when we were still far, you met us in your Son and brought us home. Dying and living, he declared your love, gave us grace, and opened the gates of glory. May we who share Christ's body live his risen life. We who drink his cup bring life to others. We who the Spirit lights give light to the world. Keep us firm in the hope you have set before us, that we and all your children shall be free, and the whole earth live to praise your name, through Christ our Lord. Amen. As we finish our time here together today, Carol will play us out in a moment. Do use that time to reflect a bit more if that is what you need to do. And of course, if anyone needs to speak with me, you know how to get hold of me. But for now, the peace of God which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in the knowledge and the love of God, and of his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, be among you and remain with you always. Amen.
Go in peace to love and serve the Lord.
In the name of Christ. Amen.